Well, from the chart-topping recording Obad, it is Jean-Michel Blay and his ensemble, the first major recording foray into chamber music, I would suggest, an absolute fixture on the charts over the last year, and for good reason here this afternoon. My name is Mark Wigmore. Welcome to The Oasis here on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture. Jean-Michel Blay is with us. In just under a decade, he has shifted from working alongside children with disabilities and special education to becoming the toast of the contemporary neoclassical scene, both in his native Quebec, across the country, and around the world. His debut DIY album, One, Two, Il, He, depending on your perspective, not only beautiful and thoughtful, it was atmospheric and improvised as it was recorded in Jean-Michel's Montreal room in 2015. It was acclaimed and was released officially the next year, with Time magazine calling it one of the best albums of the year. Names like Satie, Chopin, Reich, and Jan Tiersen came to mind. The next year, he collaborated with electronica composer CFCF for the Cascades EP, also a critical hit. He put together several other celebrated recordings, including The Eviction Sessions, which marked his eviction from that very same Montreal apartment where he recorded Il, and the soundtrack to the film Matthias and Maxime. Last year, after a three-year absence and some serious soul-searching, Jean-Michel Blay released the much-anticipated Obad. It quickly shot up to the top of the Canadian Classical Chart and the New Classical FM Top 20 Album Chart. Blay moved firmly into the composer category, leading this 12-person ensemble. The album reflected hope, but also noted for being post-breakup. It is my pleasure to have Jean-Michel Blay here on the New Classical FM for the first time. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. It's great to be with you. We're big fans, and we're so thrilled that you've taken some time with us. So we appreciate it.
It is such a great introduction. It feels like I've done so much in future. That's putting me so much pressure to keep on. It's cool. Thanks for taking time.
I'm glad to apply the pressure, my friend. That's we do want more, and we're getting more. We just love seeing you in Toronto back in January at the 21C Festival. That was a really special night at Kerner Hall.
It was a lovely venue. It was my first time there, playing there. And we have this little quartet we toured the world with. And it was just so nice. Like, you know, the venue was full. People enjoyed it. And I don't know, for some reason, when I talk, people laugh at me or with me. I still don't know. But it's just like, it's just so great to have those beautiful moments and, you know, creating living music somehow. Like, even if I'm from this classical background, some part of me feel like that's my place, that where I should be now. And it's just so great to see everyone surrounding. And like, it, you know, it feels like there's a need almost in society, like pre-existent to my compositions, but in the sense like all this like new wave of like modern classical, like quote unquote neoclassical, I don't know how to call it really, but it feels like people like they're starving for those moments of like sharing together some sort of new accessible music with like some classical flavors to it. So it's just great to be part of that big movement.
By the way, we should point out today we've reached you in Mount Tremblant. So that's a nice little location to be maybe just enjoying a little time.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. It's just my cousin's friend has a cabin here like we rent. So I sound like I'm this rich guy who makes so much money out of that's not the case at all. We just have this amazing spot and we tend to invite friends over. And it's just nice to, you know, I'm from the countryside, so for me, staying too long in like a big city like Montreal, I mean, it's not that big, but like at some point I need to see, you know, horizon. So just great to, you know, escape a bit and connect with other mentalities, other people, nature, all of that. Family is here too. So it's just great.
I couldn't agree more. Let's talk about that early life of yours, growing up in small town Quebec, banging on pots and pans, eventually finding the piano, going to the conservatory at Trois-Rivières, and then leaving that vocation on a professional level to travel the world and study psychology, special education, working with children with disabilities. It really didn't seem like piano playing and composing was going to be your life if we talked to you 10 years ago.
Totally, not at all. And, you know, it feels, sometimes I'm a bit upset at myself. Like, you know, I wish I would have just shut up and like learn what we have to do and like be more confident, just come with my own. But you know, this conservatory where I studied gave me so like very strong basis and like a very nice overview of history and all of that. But they really formed me as an interpreter. And it was a smaller conservatory, so it was hard for them to open like composition classes, you know, and I was a bit annoying and provoking, trying always to compose and like introduce jazz and modern stuff in it. I had a band on the side, I wasn't allowed and stuff like that. So it was always tricky. So it just, I mixed up everything and I somehow forgot back then that music was the only thing that really mattered overall. So I got this sort of like this education from there and just quit a bit like lost and upset. And then And you know, society is not the first place would tell you that you should be a musician. It's a great career for you. So it's really thanks, you know, thanks to all this, those experience. But, you know, on the other hand, like all, everything I did, like I, you know, I traveled so much in South America and in Europe and like learning languages and getting to learn all sorts of people really fed my way to look at life in connection to reality. And I think it's really feeding and like, you know, my music comes out of me, of course, but I feel more like I'm a point, you know, in space and time through which, like, there's something bigger than me that connects and just, like, you know, has been materialized. And those things are, like, other people's stories and, like, and there's some sort of stuff that language can express. And, like, and you know, so I feel this was when maybe all needed so that at one point, you know, I'm... There's this Arts and Craft amazing label based in Toronto that discovered my music on Bandcamp. And from then onwards, I had to quit my I agreed to quit my job, my secure job, to try music because it felt like it was the only, maybe the only time in my life that I could just dive, plunge and see what happened.
So the conservatory, you know, you have a love-hate relationship with that type of learning. You go see the world, you're teaching, you're engaged in different things, and then you're sitting there in your room in Montreal almost 10 years ago and with a Zoom microphone, which we use around here in radio, and it's kind of an honest place to start this big musical track that you've been on.
Yeah, I mean, it's deep. Back then, I only had like, you know, in a like a bedroom and shared in a with roommates. So my piano, I had like brought my piano from countryside to Montreal in that room. And I remember asking a friend in my history of art class, was like, "Hey man, I feel like I'm having too many ideas, improvs, composition in my head. I'm starting to forget them." And I was a bit scared. Maybe I had a sense that it was worth something or like meaningful to some people. And I just asked that friend, Devin Bate, who's Buffalo, he's a music producer. He's produced Jeremy Dutcher, maybe you know, Coming Home.
Of course, he's been on the show many times, yeah.
There you go. So Devin's the guy behind all of this. I just asked him, I was like, "Hey, could you help me? Do you know people?" I was like, "I could maybe do that." And so we just get in my bedroom, we put like a Zoom mic tape up there on my upright piano, put the felt on it, and I think like 3 days, and we had an album that I never... It's probably the cheapest album in the history of music. That's insane. And we, you know, because the way it was done, it was so precarious that we suddenly had to accept all the sounds that would come out. So the piano was noisy. And then sometimes like we forgot like that. It was so hot in summer. So the window was open. So at one moment during a track, during Casa, like it starts raining outside. So like David has to stand up and like close the window. We hear the window shutting and then you hear kids like screaming outside, playing and all like my roommate moving around, like washing dishes and all this capturing those sound lives. You know, it's a bit concrete music somehow. It feels like entangled with like a more diatonic, like a, you know, a lovely, simplistic, almost pop, classical-ish music. It feels like it speaks to ourselves. I mean, that's the reaction we received from that album. Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I think about that atmospheric sound that you tapped into at that moment and what you've put out before Obad, that you were sort of on to something there, and that so many people, it feels like to me, have followed in your footsteps over the last 7 or 8 years. That's interesting to me that it seemed to set some kind of a trend, and that there was just this huge response, not only from fans and people, but from the music world as well.
That's true. I feel, you know, I'm certainly not the first one to do that, right? So, and I'm a huge fan of John Cage and all his interest in sounds. Like, what is music? Where does sound stop and music begin? And what's noise in it? And like, what is silence? The silence, and you know, those questions are very philosophically interesting and also beautiful at the ear. So, the idea of improvisation, all that bringing all together, was there obviously to this recording. So, I just, you know, it also maybe comes from a tradition of like, classical music became somehow really like so, I don't know, well played. Like some takes were like mashup of best takes, you know, so we somehow create this perfection on albums that maybe sometimes doesn't even exist in reality because it's, you know, it's just chunks of better moments. And that's what I love show, classical show, because you really see the human in front of you who's sometimes stress out, sometimes fuck it up, and they just like hit a wrong note. But like, how does the human resist? Like, that's what I find beautiful. Like, in, I think in perfection, there must be part of imperfection. So we just thought it was beautiful when we listened to the recording. These were supposed to be demos, and we're like, okay, we're redoing them seriously later in the studio, playing those sounds out. And we just figured out, I think it's just lovely and beautiful, and it speaks to us. It tells a story, especially in the context of instrumental music, where, I mean, outside the title, you don't have much context to what is happening in that story or whatever the piece is about. But, and then it somehow gives clues to people's listeners' imagination. And yeah, I think a lot of people listened to that and felt, maybe it's also in a way, you know, now it feels like everyone is a photograph now with your iPhone. And it feels like maybe a lot of people can be musician, and you can with like reduced means, you don't need that huge expansive like studio or instruments to make music. And maybe it speaks of democratizing classical music and make it affordable and accessible to anyone who wants to try that. So it somehow felt at the right moment, because I'm not sure, you know.
You were sort of on the ground floor of that, I would suggest, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Just in the sense that the technology just sort of matched up with that moment. And
exactly.
And other people maybe had done it too, but you were the one who found the attention. And it's sort of interesting. I like what you're saying too about the idea that where does the art begin and end, you know, and just having those other sounds and other ideas on the record as well as the piano. So
I really kept from that this idea that always leaving a bit of space for like mistakes, for like stuff that it's unpredictable, because there's like this album I'm about to release, Serenades, that's been recorded in Berlin. Like, I wanted to capture what is to be in a studio, because a studio is also, there are human living there that talk, that move around, that briefly eat, you know, they chat, and like, this is life too. So instead of somehow creating an alternate reality of perfection, which, to be honest, I'm super fond of, and I love to listen to my back that's been played perfectly and sounds super crisp. Here, but it feels like that's not what comes out of me. And on one hand, I think I just every time I try to record quote unquote perfectly, there's always something that happened. We're in studio one day, and then for some reason in the microphone cables it was capping the radio waves, and we could hear like radio through the piece, and then it was just no way to get out of that. So I was like, okay, let's embrace it. So it just feels like it's always something like, maybe that's my thing. Maybe it's it's how, and I should just embrace it. And it's great. I mean, I'm, you know, because as I said, I talk about John Cage. I think Nils Frend has done interesting stuff before, like with ambience, all that. But maybe in Canada, maybe I'm the first one. I think it's, you just arrive in a context at one moment and it speaks to people or not. I just feel maybe the choice we made to say, that's beautiful and we should trust it, and go forward with that. And that's the big decision. But back then it was meaning nothing, right? Because I wasn't even signed to a label. It was just like putting out beautiful music out there.
Nothing to lose in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my friend, it's like, all my friend, like they oblige me. They say, you have to share your talent. You have to share that album, which I was giving for free at first. And then they were like, no, you have to make us pay for that. I was like, what am I supposed to, why would I ask you money for this? So I was like, okay, I'll open a little bank account where the money you give me may fund maybe the next project. And that's how my quote unquote career started. But it really came from people's pressure and like my misunderstanding of the musical industry.
If you are just joining us, our very special guest here this afternoon is Jean-Michel Blais. His latest chart-topping album is Obad. His EP follow-up, Serenades, arrives this Friday. Jean-Michel, Obad is still in the top five on the Canadian classical charts almost a year later. What were the circumstances that led to that record? A mixed emotions, it seems.
Yeah, it's just so... That was not the plan. I was going a completely different direction, exploring more like electronic, and I had some ideas about, you know, like going further into like mixing technology and piano. But then the confinement hit, and I felt, you know, I was splitting with my former partner back then, so I was quite lonely, but not in the sense of not necessarily sad all the time, but more just like living alone and having been
a little melancholy, perhaps.
Yeah, certainly. But we had a very nice conscious split, and we were best friends now, so that's totally fine. And but this former album, the Eviction album, like I've been evicted and get this Milan district in Montreal, evicted from my studio and apartment, like within a few months. So I suddenly like moved to this new apartment alone with my piano, and then coming back from touring, the confinement hit and I was just there. And curiously, I don't know.
And by confinement, we're talking about the lockdowns and the pandemic.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I thought, might not be an English word, sorry.
No, it's okay.
And so, yeah, the lockdown. So being there, I think some sort of hit of resilience came, and I have the FOMO, is very, I always fear to miss anything. So suddenly there was just nothing you could do except, so I felt so suddenly super free, you know, and it felt like I wanted to connect back to my conservatory past. And I was like, maybe I continue what I stopped back then, which is in this case, learning to write for other instruments, and feeling so lonely. I was like, I'll just create those other imaginary friends by like, and I truly filled my room that became a studio with, imagine it was like, okay, the cello's going to be there. And like, who do I want with? Like, I have an oboe there, and I have a double bass in the back. And I suddenly just surrounded myself, and I bought this book online of like how to arrange, how to orchestrate. And slowly I just went through that. And during the process, I asked for help. And sometimes it was so hard that I just wanted to pay people to do that for me. But then it was never quite what I wanted. It was like, okay, I can't do that. I need to be strong and keep on. I ended up working with this guy, Alex Weston, who was Philip Glass, former assistant in New York. I don't remember even how I found that guy, but you know, he became a friend, and we somehow finished the arrangement by Zoom like this during this lockdown. And so this like lonely moment became this very hopeful, optimistic, you know, full of light and full of joy. Like the majority of pieces are in major, and like it's very dancey and floaty. And so that's what Obad is about. And that's why the idea of Obad, which is, you know, serenade is the music of the night, and Obad is the music of the morning, serenade of the dawn somehow. And because I was early, like I was up before the sun every day, super energetic, working on that process. And I was like, it's celebration of novelty, of tomorrow, of the day to come, you know, of the early life of spring. And I was full of that energy. And that's really where this album came. And I don't know if without the situation, eviction, breakup, lockdown, I don't know if I would have, you know, trust myself or like make myself in the position where I'd be really taking a year maybe to learn how to orchestrate and really work on something.
I think it was the right move. I really do, because I think, you know, you had this, you know, catalog of work, and yes, you were building on those different sounds, but I felt like this was really a fresh bouquet of flowers that we were really getting to know you better through this. And I'm really glad you took the risk. And so that takes us to where we're headed this week, and that is the EP, which sounds like you yet again have changed course a little, but it's still connected to this other records.
Yeah, totally. So it just felt like writing for all those other instruments and going through that process, I felt like I was leaving a side of me, which is the intimate Jean-Michel confessing himself to an upright felt piano and, you know, back to this old, more comfortable world. And I thought that it was a nice way to, you know, part of me was influenced by the idea, at least, of like Franz Liszt and so many other like reductions where you would bring a whole symphony back to one musician on a piano. And it was like, because there was no way I would, you know, who would buy a sheet music for 12 musicians? And like, and how can I, you know, touring that was complicated and all of that. So I came with the idea that what if we just distill and we just like keep the essence of each piece, or at least the one that makes more sense. If the piece already piano, I won't re-record it for fun. So I was in Berlin having this idea with Devin again, Buffalo. And we thought, what about we just do like a night version of it, a serenade version, or like a nap version, because it's so soft and quiet. It's completely the other side. And so I try to make a total contrast on every track of a completely different way to look at the piece. So the happiest becomes suddenly super slowed down, minorized, and like more, you know, it, and it feels like I'm a very social person. So when I'm 12 with 12 other musicians, I'm going to like, you know, party, dance, drink, have fun. And when I'm suddenly alone, then it becomes very more like, you know, it's like talking to a diary and just like opening my heart. And that's what happens.
A moment from Serenades, the new album out this Friday. Jean-Michel Blais, this has been a real treat. Thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for supporting, right?